I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Swam Liu. I'm joined in preseason action by my running back partner, Alex Wong. Alex.
What's up? Preseason mode.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like the most preseason game we've ever seen, this game between the Raptors and the Bulls ranks as...
This is up there, man. Like, I'd rather they play like a foreign team and then it's kind of fun. But they played the Bulls. Jim Boylan was coaching like he was trying to get into the NCAA Final Four.
Oh, man.
Almost called it. I think they're practicing on the court right now, to be honest.
At one point in the second quarter, Matt Thomas drove past the closeout and tried to attack the middle. The referees called him on a traveling because he moved his pivot foot, and Jim Boylan jumped off the bench, did the little shuffling move, and was, you know, basically jumping up and down.
It's a big win. Every win counts, man.
He's got this team playing really hard. I feel like the Bulls this year can be a team that will frustrate people. But anyway, so the Raptors lose this game 105-91. Really, the game was a lot more lopsided than this final score indicates, because the Raptors actually closed the gap with a 30-13 fourth quarter. But the thing that to know here is that the Raptors were in Japan like as recently as, what, Thursday?
Yeah.
So
they've been back like, what, 48 hours?
Exactly. Yeah, and everyone is super jet lagged. Like, that's we're talking about like an 11-hour time difference.
The top, like, what's except for OG, the top, like, what, seven guys in the rotation didn't play today.
Yeah, Kyle's out. Kyle has yet to play in preseason. We'll talk about that in a sec. Mark was out. Serge was out. Norm was out. Fred was out. Pascal.
Yeah.
I mean, like, man, it's just everybody was really not in action. And a couple of those guys we did actually see warm up and stuff like that. So that's cool to see. At least I got some rhythm. But, like, yeah, I mean, everyone's just really jet-lagged. We can talk about the game itself. It's not really that important. I guess we can talk about, first off, like, are you concerned that this team has had such a short amount of time together, took everything to gel? Like, for example, Kyle Lowry hasn't even played yet. Not even, like, training camp. He hasn't even played training camp.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not concerned at all, just because
The
core guys have played together, right?
Like,
And I think Nick was talking about this post-game, too, today, is that they did get some minutes together. I mean, outside of Kyle, you know, Mark came back for the second game in Japan. So the starters and the main rotation guys got a lot of minutes together in the two games in Japan. And, you know, I usually, I'm sure you are too, like, I don't put a lot of stock into the preseason anyways.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd be more concerned, honestly, if they were integrating a lot of new pieces. And, I mean, in a way they are, but these are a lot of guys that are going to be at the end of the rotation that are going to be coming off the bench. And, you know, I'm not too concerned. You know, if there is one concern, it is, you know, I'd like to see maybe Kyle get some minutes on Friday when they play Brooklyn, their last tune-up.
Yep.
But, I mean, if opening night against the Pelicans is the first time we see Kyle this season, then so be it. You know, it might take him a week or two to work back into kind of
right.
You know, whatever shape you know we want Kyle to be in. But, no, overall, not too concerned.
Yeah, I think what helps is that, okay, there's only one more game, but there are still lots more time to practice. Like, we're talking about the all of next week is just going to be practices.
Yeah, like, they're just going to be home this week.
Yeah.
Or they're just going to practice and get over jet lag. Like, jet lag's a real thing.
Oh, no, for
like,
sure.
Like, you know, like, these guys have to, like, get their body clocks and all of this stuff adjusted back.
We've been to the homeland.
Are we doing this now?
Yeah, no, it's just...
Stick to the script.
It's a long flight, man. It's, like, 16 hours, like, yeah. You know.
It's a real thing, but yeah.
Yeah, so whatever. So most of the main guys didn't play, and of course, because of that, the Raptors kind of got... they didn't get washed, but, like, the Bulls scored 39 points in the third quarter. It was kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, it got out of hand a little bit.
I got to say, I got to commend the crowd. So this is the only preseason game in Toronto, and, you know, I can only imagine that these were some discounted seats, things like this. At least I hope they were discounted seats.
Well, I know a friend who messaged me during the game. He apparently paid $120 for two tickets.
Was he sitting courtside? Like, what's going on?
The view looked like it was from the 300s.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, and he spent the entire second half taking photos of us from far away in the gondola.
That's an incredible scam. That's an incredible scam. Well, I mean, wow. Okay. I wouldn't say this is great value, but I would say at least shout out to the fans that were there. Like, they made a lot of noise.
They did.
Even in the fourth quarter, when the Raptors were closing in between like a 30-point game to like a 15-point game, crowd is going nuts. DeJuan Hernandez makes a floater. Everyone's going crazy. Yeah. The Raptors fans, we live up to our reputation.
Yeah, shout out to the fans, man. Cheering like there was pizza on the line.
Yeah, no. Only 91 points available tonight. Okay, let's talk about the players that actually played. So, which guy caught your eye the most?
Matt Thomas.
Okay, you're going there first. Let's go, Matt Thomas first.
Matt Thomas, you know.
What about Matt Thomas?
I think Matt Thomas, you know, passed up on a couple of threes today. Sure. But he showed, like, the ability to kind of, like, take that one dribble in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that floater looks all right. And a couple of...
He can hit a shot off the glass.
He can hit a shot off the glass. So not just a three-point shooter. And the other thing is, you know, a couple of nice passes, too.
Yeah.
The playmaking's there, and I feel like he kind of plays... under control. If anything, I would have expected him to be a lot more selfish, maybe like a Chris Boucher type, where, like, you know, it's a catch and shoot situation every time from beyond the arc. If anything, I might actually want Matt to be a little bit more like that.
Sure.
Because, you know, seems like there was a couple opportunities that he passed up on, again, within the context of a preseason game.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing, you know, I love to see him in lineups with some of the core rotation guys, you know, if they're actually going to find him open in the corners and things that. Like, you know, I don't feel like he's going to be like a major rotation piece, but I feel like there are probably some minutes there for him.
Yeah, I would say...
The propaganda continues.
The propaganda definitely continues, but I would say today he had a good game in terms of... I think, honestly, to your point about him turning down a couple of shots, like, I kind of feel that refreshing, you know what I mean? Like, you don't always want to shoot every single time. Like, I understand that he's a shooter, he can take those shots, he has a green light too, but, like, you know, realistically, you mix it up, you keep the defense honest. I also like the playmaking as well. I mean, at one point in the second quarter, I think Matt Thomas came off a curl, drove to the basket, and then dropped a little bounce pass to DeJuan Hernandez, who finished the layup. And I heard you saying, you know, the vision. Look at the vision. And I was like, I'm not sure if propaganda ends. If you're aware of the propaganda.
Well, let's be real. Like, we want Matt Thomas to be what? Like a CJ Miles type or something, right?
Even less.
Like, even less.
Yeah, like, I mean, like 10 minutes off the bench.
Yeah. Like, but in terms of when he's on the floor, like, that's his role, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, just come in and you know, shoot the ball when you're open.
Yeah. And I thought today, part of the reason why he got 19 minutes, obviously, was because, you know, literally all the rotation players are out. But also, there was a defensive matchup for him in Chris Dunn, who, like, Chris Dunn just can't shoot whatsoever, and so it was easier for Thomas to sort of, you know, subsist and actually sort of be passable defensively. I guess in terms of other lineups, like, it'll be a little bit more difficult. Sure. But yeah, I mean, really, it's just the defense that holds him back. Everything else I kind of like about his game. It seems like he has that sort of catch and shoot, especially off two screens. Mm-hmm. You know, he can shoot while in motion, which isn't quite at a JJ Redick level, but I mean, Redick is also like one of the greatest collegiate scorers of all time, and also he's been in the league for like a dozen plus years now. So that's something nice to see with Thomas, and that's something he has to do, because you're not all, if you're this good of a shooter, you are not only going to be taking like set open shots. Like, you need to be taking leaning shots, you know, in the air, floating, different situations on the move. And if he hits those, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, obviously everyone's joking about the 99%, but 5 out of 10 today and 2 of 5 from 3, 12 points off the bench in 19 minutes. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, no, you'll take that.
OG.
Yes, that should have been the first one, but the propaganda continues.
I was going to say, you got to you got to lock down that gig as Matt Thomas's agent. Yeah, OG was good, man. I mean, definitely the best Raptor on the floor. Very complete two-way game. Defensively, we know what OG can do, but I thought offensively, it was a situation where normally OG would have offense created for him, and today OG had to create a lot of his own offense, and usually that leads to some questionable results. Like when I saw him in the first quarter, I think he ran like two pick rolls, both of them turned into turnovers. I was like, this is not going to go well. But I feel like he really calmed down, and maybe not running pick and rolls is his best usage because he doesn't have the handle to create. But I did like him driving to the basket. I thought him getting matched up as a power forward against someone like Lauri Markkanen, he really took it to Markkanen a couple of times. Even when he had Thaddeus Young, who was the Bulls' third big, when Thaddeus Young came in, like Thaddeus Young is a pretty good defender, and he's a pretty versatile guy. And OG was able to drive and score and finish. You got to the free throw line. I thought the spin move was really nice for him.
Yeah.
I mean, something he showed last season, but he's very, very strong when he spins, right? So even though there might be a defender in the way, maybe someone slides over, he can sort of still blow past that and still get a shot off. He's not always in control, and I don't think he has the greatest footwork there. But at the same time...
It still looks a little sloppy sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it's awkward. It's a little leaning. It's a little Rondae Hollis Jefferson-ish, but he's getting the shot off, and he's a very reliable finisher on the basket.
He is, because he's, we say he's a little bit out of control, but around the basket and stuff, I feel like that's where he's kind of really in control in those situations. Like he plays to his own speed, and preseason games, again, if you're out there playing against second, third stringers, you want to stand out a little bit.
Yeah.
And OG did.
Yep.
And I guess I don't know, maybe my question for you is if we project this to the regular season and when he starts playing with guys like Mark, Kyle, and Pascal, how many shots do you think you're looking at? OG getting each game, are you looking at 10 to 12 shots, even that?
No, I don't think 10 to 12, and it's nothing against OG. I just think that there are guys right now in the rotation that are a little bit more capable offensively. I don't think he's as dynamic with his offense. He can't really do much in terms of shooting off the move, he has to be a standstill shooter, so that limits kind of the attempts he gets. He's getting obviously a fair share of transition buckets and things like that, but
So not like a heavily featured offensive player.
He's like a fourth option. But, I mean, at the same time, he can be an effective fourth option, especially if he defends. Honestly, it's really just with the defense and knocking down threes. If he does a little bit more than that, then everything else is kind of gravy. And I thought one other thing that was really good about OG's game today was the playmaking. He's always been a guy who, although he doesn't really have the ability to break down his man, he does seem to have a good awareness of where everyone is on the floor and how he impacts everyone else. Because he always had a couple of moments in this as a rookie where I'm like, whoa, look at him driving to the basket and a little dish down low for the dunk or something like that. He always had a little bit of playmaking juice. And today, he had 4 assists in 27 minutes. I mean, look, man.
Yeah. No, Nick did call that out as a positive after the game. That's the other thing. We talk about all these guys. Even if you're a third, fourth option. And again, if you're a third, fourth option, having that playmaking is very important too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's how you can contribute. People always want to look at points and shot attempts and all that stuff.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could have a larger conversation about OG, but he looked good today. And, I think he's going to be a steady player this season.
Yeah, and I don't think we should expect this from him every night because there's no way he's expected to create this much offense for himself every night. But I think this is encouraging, and it's sort of a reminder of why there is promise behind OG, right? I don't think there's the expectation that he's going to take some sort of Pascal-style leap is too much, I
even
think.
Even Pascal himself said, let's not put that on him.
Yeah. He's like, bro, please.
Bro,
just because I did it.
Yeah, I'm negotiating a max contract right now.
Relax, man.
There's no room for OG.
Trade him for Beal. No, I'm kidding. No, I liked what OG.
It's how people always if Aaron Gordon would just accept that he could just be a 3-and-D guy and not be a feature scorer.
Sure,
that would be the best version of him. I guess it's OG this season. It's focus more on making an impact on defense.
Yeah.
And kind of contributing what you can on offense, right?
Exactly.
That's probably the best version that the Raptors want.
Yeah, I mean, as a rookie, OG took 4.7 shots per game last season, and it went up to 6. I don't think it goes past 7.5 this year.
Yeah.
And, that's okay, though. That's, again, he's just there to convert and I think open opportunities. And I think, honestly, he made the most of it. And if he can drive occasionally on close and stuff like that, that's where the sort of development on offense is. But he's not going to break out into some sort of superstar. But I liked what he brought today for sure.
Yeah.
That's about probably about it, man.
That's it.
It's a tough game.
Your boy Kanate had a nice dunk at the end.
Why is he my boy?
Because you mention him every time we chat.
All right. Well, he was a plus 12 in 5 minutes. I don't think he was actually the reason for that, but it was nice to see. I think his teammates really like him because it seemed like every single time he got a shot up,
they were very excited.
They were jumping off the bench and stuff like that. I mean, he took a corner three, he missed, but he dunked down low. He also seemed very fired up himself. So
yeah.
I like a bench guy with energy, man. If you're going to come off the bench, you got to deliver some energy. Brissett. I like Brissett. He was okay. O'Shea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 12 with the arm sleeve.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Chris Boucher?
No, that's not him.
Yeah.
No,
I meant, do you want to talk about Chris Boucher?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Honestly, Boucher did good things.
Yeah.
And, like, he puts up numbers, which is good. But, like, when you watch him play, it just looks like it's always garbage time for him. Like, when is he going to be, like, make serious...
Yeah,
contributions.
Like he plays all his minutes. Like it's just garbage time.
Yeah,
like he's just playing pickup or something.
Yeah.
So here's what Nick said after the game, and you can react to this. So he was asked, you know, how Boucher did today, and what his chances are of like being a regular in the rotation. And you know, he mentioned like he likes his aggressiveness on offense, but the two things he pointed out that he's concerned about is rebounding.
Yep.
And also whether he can finish around the basket, because in the NBA. It's way harder than the G League because guys are just bigger and taller.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Are those the things that kind of like you think is holding him back from maybe challenging for, you know, the eighth or ninth spot, whatever it might be?
I think rebounding definitely is important. Part of the thing with him rebounding is that he chases a lot of blocks. Mm-hmm. So he's constantly leaving his feet, and so he's not really in position to rebound as much.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem like a very, like, I mean, polished or, like, disciplined player, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's just out there, like, floating.
Yeah. I know he has good like rebounding stats in the G League, but sure. I don't think this is something that translates to this level. I consistently see him getting outworked and whatever for rebounds. Yeah. Part of that is also he's real skinny.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I just think for a player like him, like you just have to establish something, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to be bringing some sort of consistent value on the court. And right now, what is he bringing?
Like, well, he brings energy and he brings aggressiveness, but sure. I also think aggressiveness in his case. Is kind of detrimental. Like, he's aggressive to a fault. Like, I don't think he's selfish, but it feels very much like he's out there trying to get numbers.
Get his points, yeah. And it's
like,
and
he
it's
doesn't like, pass.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, if you're going to bring him off the bench for scoring, you want to be able to rely on him for that.
Yeah.
And you can't really rely on him for that either, right? Because the offense is not going to run through him.
Yeah.
So.
But here's the thing is, like, I feel like he has enough skills now that he can contribute to certain things in the basketball floor. Like today, for example, right? It wasn't all bad. He got 11 points, 4 of 9 shooting. He hit a 3. He got 2 steals, 4 blocks in 20 minutes. That's pretty good activity, generally speaking. And he had a very impressive block on Zach LaVine. He, like, literally, like, sat him down mm-hmm. with the block. But literally on that same play, so he blocks LaVine, gets the rebound, pushes the break, and, like, there's, like, 5 chances for him to pass to anybody else. Yeah. But he forces it, and I think it just ends up being a ball out of bounds. And it's just like
it was Matt Thomas, like, running on the wing with him on that play. And anybody would have made that pass, right?
Yeah, so. You would have definitely made that pass.
No, I might have tried to dunk on someone preseason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know. To me, he feels like a player that's still a bit away
mm-hmm.
from being able to kind of play a regular role. But.
Yeah, I just don't see why he needs to press the way he does. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to force himself to get numbers. Because there's just no need for it. Like, if you look at it, the Raptors need 4 bigs on the roster. Right. You have Mark, you have Serge, you have Pascal. Obviously, those 3 are going to take up most of the minutes.
Yeah, and there's a huge drop off.
But then there has to be a 4th guy. Yeah. And besides Boucher, who is that guy? DeJuan is not ready.
Right.
So, it's going to be Boucher. So, even though his contract is unguaranteed at the moment, I don't think he needs to worry too much. Like, he doesn't need to play in this fashion to get some numbers. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't. Doesn't matter. He's already proven he can get numbers. Like, literally, he was a G League MVP.
Yeah, and there's nothing more he can do at that level, so.
Yeah, so just focus on, like, what you can do to contribute at an NBA level into a winning organization.
No, I still think it's going to take a little bit of time, so.
McCaw.
Yeah, I think he had a dunk in the first half.
2 points.
That was the dunk, yeah.
All right. Malcolm Miller. You like Malcolm Miller?
You know what, Malcolm Miller? He can shoot it, you know. Nice end of the bench piece.
1 for 4.
I hope Malcolm. Wow, just exposing you.
No, I mean,
I should really have a box score.
Only I have the box.
But score. I mean, how many spots are left? I think there's 3 end of the bench spots, right?
Yeah, we're talking about
like roster spots. Yeah, like roster spots.
I mean, I guess I could keep Miller. Again, he has another guy who's on an unguaranteed thing, so he has some things to play for. I just feel like he doesn't get involved enough.
Like, if it's down to Malcolm Miller and Cameron Payne, who are you taking?
Oh God.
What's your assessment on campaign?
Let me see the fridge and pool again, man. Give your
30-second spiel on campaign's preseason.
This guy made some terrible decisions. Terrible.
It's tough.
The amount of times
it's tough.
Someone is opening in the corner, tough. On the strong side corner, but he decides to drive into traffic and force it over four guys to pass. Not good.
You know campaign not is not good when preseason Will coming off a championship is getting a little bit flustered.
He's
getting a little flustered.
Nothing else about this game bothered me other than Chris Boucher shooting every single time he touched the ball and campaign making horrendous decisions. You are a point guard. You need to make good decisions to run and facilitate the offense. 1-for-7 with 4 turnovers in 18 minutes is bad. That's just straight up bad.
Then you rather just go with like Isaiah Taylor.
And I don't want to go with Isaiah Taylor either because I feel like he's also not very good.
So Terrence Davis. We've got to fast track this Terrence Davis situation.
Honestly, if you need a third point guard, just keep McCaw there as your third point guard.
Yeah.
McCaw's already guaranteed a contract. Nothing you can really do about it. Yeah. Davis, I feel like, could use a little bit more G League time.
Yeah.
Just sort of like polish off the edges a little bit.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. If you're looking at the end of the roster here, like a lot of these guys aren't really going to feature. But like to my point about Miller, like you look at a guy like Thomas, right? So Matt Thomas got 10 shots in 19 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he made a couple nice passes, something like that. Miller, playing 17 minutes with the starters, gets 5 shots off,
yeah.
Right? So half, and doesn't have a single assist. What I mean is, like, if even though you are a shooter, you can still move around. You can still make things happen. I don't really get the sense that Malcolm Miller is a guy that is dynamic in a way that Thomas can be dynamic. Even though he's bigger and probably as good of a shooter, but you know what I mean? Like,
wow, you're starting to lean towards the Matt Thomas propaganda. Yeah, the propaganda. Just a little bit.
The propaganda continues.
This is how it happens. Can we talk about Stanley Johnson?
Yeah, Stanley's a little bit... Okay.
Are you surprised? Like, I felt like I thought coming into training camp and preseason, he might get like a longer look with whether it was like the starters mm-hmm. or like the rotation guys. But it seems like Nick's been bringing him along with just like the second unit and the third unit.
The
third unit. And like, that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought at least he was going to get a chance to maybe get into the conversation for like a starting spot. But
I guess not. Right now, it just seems like he lacks confidence. Yeah. Like, every time he's played in all three preseason games. He played in intra-squad scrimmage, which we were there for. He gets the ball. He's open. He kind of pump fakes, but doesn't really sell the fake, so no one really is moving. And then he doesn't shoot, and then he jab steps, and then he swings the ball. Mm-hmm. That's not a good outcome for the offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even though he's not a good shooter, like, he's a career 29% shooter, he needs to at least shoot a couple of those. He went 1-for-2 today, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't even mind if he's 1-for-4. Like, just keep, you just shoot the ball when you got to shoot the ball. Because he's not good enough to create consistently every time.
Yeah. He might be another guy where it's just, he's got to just bring his value on defense.
Sure.
And that's it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I don't mind. I mean, he could do a couple more things. I feel like they can use him in a pick and roll a little bit more just to get him downhill. He does have a bit of a handle, which is good. That's probably the best asset in his game right now, aside from defense, is that he has a handle to go with his size. Not a great finisher on the basket, which is a little weird because he gets there.
Yeah.
But at least, you put him in the pick and roll. He seems like an okay pass. I don't mind him. I don't mind Rondé. He gets involved.
Yeah.
Rondé limits his limitations.
I think I slandered Rondé last time I was on this pod. So
what would you say about Rondé?
I don't know. I think I said it was going to be waived by Christmas or something. Or I said that off air to you.
Oh, wow. Well, it's now, on there now.
Yeah, but I'm taking that back. I'm rescinding it. Rondé makes things happen.
Yeah.
I think that's what you want from some of these guys. Like, I just want Stanley Johnson to, like, make some things happen. You know?
Exactly.
Like, you can't be out there playing, like, 6 minutes and just be, like, invisible.
Yeah. Oddly enough, Stanley Johnson in 21 minutes today had 5 points and 4 assists. I didn't notice the 4 assists, but, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Hernandez got 11 rebounds. That was cool.
Damn.
Yeah. He needs to be stronger with the ball, though. Yeah. A couple times he gets the ball down low, he should finish. He doesn't finish. He's a little skinny right now.
They'll just put through the G League system for a year and see what happens, right?
All right. Let's come to that point in the podcast where we have to do 3 stars.
We're doing this for preseason?
We do it every single game. This is the beauty of the Raptors Reaction Podcast.
The beauty.
It's hardcore. Number one star,
Matt Thomas.
All right. Controversial decision, Matt Thomas. It's a propaganda number one star for sure. 12 points, 5 of 10 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3. 1 rebound, 2 assists.
Many other beautiful looks that weren't finished by his teammates.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of potential assists.
Yeah.
A lot of key passes, as they say.
Is there a stat for that?
No, that's a football term.
The Matt Thomas assist.
The Matt Thomas assist is...
it's just anytime he passes the ball.
Wow.
Also, they got to stop letting... You know, Nick had him inbound as the inbounder and a quarter possession to Cameron Payne for a corner three, which, you know, sailed 9 feet wide.
It was bad.
Like, I know it's a preseason game, but...
Well, you want your shooter not to be inbounding. That makes a lot of sense.
That's all I'm saying, man. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Jim Boylan wouldn't have done that.
Wow. Okay, all right. We're slandering Nick Nurse.
Jim Boylan would never.
Jim Boylan's a clown. Yo, I remember him last season. I put in one of my 10 things where it was like throwaway game in March. There was like...
They called a timeout, right?
The Raptors were like up 12 with like less than a minute left, and he called a timeout to run a play.
Lesson.
And then he laughs at after he's like, yeah, it's a teachable moment.
Yo,
just let the game.
This guy really thinks he's like coaching grade 11.
This man's head is shaped.
The whole team like demanded a the whole team like demand a trade or something?
Yeah.
They walked out.
They basically formed a union within their own team.
They unionized.
They unionized on
against their own coach.
And this is like a week after he took over, and he made the runs like sprints 2 days after a back to back.
It seems okay now though. I don't know.
Well, they play real hard. We'll see if playing hard aside from preseason really works. But you know, they had a couple guys on their team that intrigued me.
Number one star was Matt Thomas.
Sure. All right. Number two star, which is the real number one star in this case, OG Anunoby, 15 points, 4 assists, 5 of 9 shooting. This is the best 15-point performance I've seen.
Wow.
In a while.
Wow.
Maybe it was because everyone else in this game was kind of unwatchable. But
Number three star, another controversial pick coming.
All right.
Herbie Kuhn.
Okay.
With the Tomas Satoransky drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was ready. Yeah. You know, mid-season form.
It's preseason for everybody, man. Yeah. But that's regular season.
Yeah.
Playoff form.
No, Herbie showed up.
For Herbie.
Herbie showed up, so give him a star.
All right, Herbie gets a third star. Sure, why not, man? Honestly, he was probably better than some of the Raptors tonight. In terms of the Gerald Henderson Award for the player that unexpectedly lit up the Raptors, I would have to say that was rookie point guard Coby White.
Coby White looked good.
Yeah. The hair is, even from where we sat in the media gondola, which is like in line with like the banners.
Yeah, 600 level.
Yep.
Views from the six.
Yep. Even from there, his hair was massive. But
No, stylish player. No, he was
good.
He'll be fun to watch.
18 points on 6 of 16 shooting. He was a lot hotter until this fourth quarter hit where he shot like 0 for 6 or something like that. It felt like he missed a bunch of threes. But yeah, I mean, he can play. He's quick.
Yeah.
He beat Terrence Davis in a line drive.
You gonna be watching the Bulls this season or what?
Actually, you know what? I drafted a. What's his name? Tomas Satoransky.
Yeah.
And Thaddeus Young with two of my last picks in my draft.
Wow.
So. Yeah, I think Satoransky has a
real
solid.
Got some veteran leadership on your fantasy team.
Satoransky could really make
nice,
a starting lineup. Yeah, he's better than
Chris
Dunn.
Why did the Wizards let him go? Because they paid John Wall $90 million a year?
Yep, to do the Dougie. All
right.
Yeah, I like Coby White, though. But, that's about it. Oh, and the Patrick Patterson one. I mean, I don't know, man.
Pat McCall. I think we should just... can you rebrand this to the Pat McCall?
Pat McCall Award for the player that played 20-plus minutes but only had 2 points. It was McCall today, man.
Yeah, let's just get
I hope he's okay, though. He apparently got hurt or something?
Yeah. Yeah, Nick didn't have an update after.
Oh, really? Nick Nurse wasn't, like, pressing Alex McKechnie for the MRI results immediately after the game?
Yeah. McKechnie's life must be so much more chill this season.
Yeah, seriously. You know what? Actually, no. Never mind. I take that back. I'm giving it to Cameron Payne.
Yeah, you don't know. Okay.
It's got to go to Cameron Payne, man. Come on, man.
He always looks like he's running sideways.
Yeah, definitely.
It just...
In the wrong direction. Every time.
But you know what the crazy thing is? He would cook us.
There's no question about this.
I would love...
What are we talking about, man?
I would love to watch Campaign versus Will Liu.
Yeah, no. There's nothing there.
Your trash talk would be sick, though.
Listen.
You might break him down mentally.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
I just always have to remind people, you know, like, these are NBA players. We're slandering, you know?
Every single one of the players that played tonight, except for Cristiano Felicio, would dominate me in a game, okay? Felicio, I don't know.
Yo, let's get Campaign to show up to the Raptors Republic 3-on-3.
He'd have to come off the bench for a side, for sure.
He'd have to fly back to Toronto.
He's coming back off the bench. Man. No, he's taking an Uber from the Hershey's Fine Foods. Oh, actually, I guess they changed that now.
Paramount.
It's the Paramount Fine Food Center now. Before we go, we got a plug. Run it back.
We'll be back this Wednesday.
Wednesday. It should come out on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Wednesdays every week. So this week we're doing our season preview episode.
Yes.
So we won't spoil it, but you know, we're going to have five major questions about the Raptors that we want answers to, that we're curious about. We're going to make our predictions. And yeah, you know, you should tell your listeners if they ever want to toss us ideas, because we want to do we want to do some throwback episodes too. Like we definitely want to service the fans by doing a weekly show talking about the current topics and everything. But we also acknowledge that, you know, on a slow week, if they're playing like the Hornets and the Hawks, it's going to be hard to pull storylines. And
for sure,
we want to devote entire episodes to like past playoff series. We were talking about doing something about like top five all-time Raptors killers.
Yep.
Maybe like, you know, celebrate Masai Ujiri's like top five moves.
Sure.
That should be like top 20.
Best and worst draft pick.
Raptors best and
draft,
worst. Raptors.
Worst Raptors draft picks. That one I'm really excited about because there's some really bad ones.
Joey Graham.
The Raptors got the number one pick, and we picked Andrea Bargnani. Number one pick.
Yeah. We could do a whole Bargnani episode, like, because you were talking about doing commercials too, right?
Yeah.
We could fold that all in.
The worst Raptors commercials. Yeah. That's another one, or the cheesiest ones, because there's a lot of bad Raptors commercials.
We want to do a whole episode about Vince Carter, because Will was, like, born in 2003, apparently, and never watched Vince.
I was in communist China, you know? We weren't watching that.
Basketball questions only.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know. So we're looking to do some fun stuff this season. I know we dropped one episode. You should check it out.
We're
going to get on more of a consistent weekly schedule.
Yep, for sure.
And just trying to do like original entertaining content, you know?
Right.
It's our boss's favorite weekly Raptor show, and we're trying to make it yours too. Yeah.
That's a great way to sell it. No, but seriously though, it's a good show. It's very authentic.
We want to make it like inclusive and like fun, you know,
exactly,
for the fans, like for real. It's like, I don't think that's cliche to say, fun. Like, you know,
no, there's not.
Like, I legit want to, when I'm sitting there and like recording it with you, like I want, like I'm always trying to be mindful of like, what would I want to watch, or what would fans like, you know,
you want to watch two Asian dudes, one of which is holding chopsticks for the entire episode for no apparent reason.
I've got like seven divorce jokes. Like, yeah, I pre-write my scripts.
All right. Well,
Will does it naturally.
Really letting the cat out of the bag here. Yeah. But, that does for the podcast. So yeah, look for Run It Back. It's going to be on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page. The first episode that we shot in Quebec City is up. And yeah, so look out
back
for the next
week.
It's back this week. It's going to come out every week on Wednesdays, so look for that. But in the meantime, Alex, thank you for sitting through this. Let's go visit our families now for Thanksgiving.
Like, and back home, or?
Sign off. Oh, no, not that. We don't do Thanksgiving. We do Zhongqiujie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what you just said.
Yeah, the Mid-Autumn Festival. It's the same thing. Every culture has the same thing. You, like, collect all the things that you farmed. It's usually in, like, whenever, like, October, November-ish, and you eat. Every
I'm a Uber Eats a turkey.
All right. Well, enjoy that.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.